So glad you're here for what is a major update when it comes to geopolitics in the earth. And I praise God that he is speaking so audibly, so clearly through the prophetic voices in the earth. I'm sure you're familiar with some of the things that people all over the world are praying and prophesying into what we're seeing in Israel. And I'm going to give a little more insight into that as what the Spirit of the Lord has prepared for you through this ministry. I want to first pray, and then I'm going to dig right into what the Spirit of the Lord is saying about the gate of war. The gate of war is the title of this message, the gate of war. Let us pray. Father, in the name of the Lord, I just come and I ask you to teach me how to speak as an oracle of God. I pray that I prophesy with love. I pray I prophesy with faith. I pray now, God, that your people will not be afraid, but be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world. I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And the people of God said, amen. All right. So I do believe I should give you just a couple of quick announcements before I get into this word. I want to go right in, but I believe the Spirit of God wants me to just inform you that we are raising $50,000 for our international revivals and crusades. I will be in Peru in November, and Bolivia's calling, Papua New Guinea, and all over the world for revivals in churches. And obviously, this ministry is about salvation, deliverance, and freedom. We want to see people healed of inner wounds and physical wounds. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord does through this ministry. And so if you're interested in that and supporting us, you can go to faithfireworldwide.com and learn more about that. Also, we have a fundraising banquet happening on November 9th here in the Triad area. And you can find that information on our website there about that as well. Amen. Okay, so let's get into the word. I have prophesied that this is the year of the door or the gate, the year of the gate. And you can go back and look at some of my previous prophetic words regarding the Hebrew year 5784, which began on September 15th. I just do not have time to get into the nuts and the bolts of it, but this is the year of the door. And the Lord has begun to minister to me the truth about the war in Israel with Hamas and Hezbollah. So Hezbollah is at the West Bank or the southern tip of Israel. And then you have the Gaza Strip, and you have those who are aligning with Hamas that are attacking Israel from that area. And so there's potentially, it looks like it's happening, two fronts in this war, two different fronts in this war. And this is simply a war at the gates. This is what I heard so clearly from the Spirit of God. This is a war at the gates. The Lord says more war is coming, and it's not just going to be in the Middle East. The Lord says this will be a year of civil war, nation against nation, people against people. There will be a culture war, and these will be wars of military might as well. There will be culture wars, and there will be wars of military might. And the Spirit of God says, do not be afraid. I just want to make sure I clarify that. There will be culture wars, and there will be military might wars. And the Spirit of God says, do not be afraid. And as I was praying into this and listening to God's heart, I saw fires and smoke rising in the distance. I heard gunfire. I heard the screams of people who were so surprised that the war had gotten so close to their homes. And this is what we're seeing. We are seeing a major realignment in the earth. Now, we're not seeing the fullness of it. Remember, Russia and Ukraine are already at war. We're seeing civil wars in the continent of Africa as well. And I kept hearing over days, axis of evil. There is a new axis of evil being formed in the world. Now, that terminology came about during the world wars, where we saw certain nations aligning with certain nations, and they were deemed the axis of evil. What is an axis? It's something upon which something else turns. And so what we're seeing is an alignment where we're going to see an axis of evil develop upon which all other things are going to revolve, at least from an opposition of the kingdom of God standpoint. These are those who will be opposed to the kingdom of God advancing in the earth. These will be tools of the evil one. Nations are aligning with each other, and nations are aligning against each other. We're seeing a new Cold War between China and America, a new Cold War with Russia and America. We will see two major groups of nations aligning and strengthening their trade alliances. This is already happening, but it's going to further develop. The Lord wants me to bring this to your attention. You need to be watching what's going on in Asia, where Russia and China are conglomerating and consolidating their power and influence with nations that many would call developing nations or poorer nations. This is an ideology that has been vital to the uprisings of people such as Fidel Castro, Mussolini, Lenin, the list goes on and on, Hitler as well, where the poor align with the poor and force the issue with those who are considered wealthy. And so those such as an Adolf Hitler will take advantage of people who feel they are marginalized in order to conglomerate all of that power against the status quo, against the structures of those that they consider to be the enemy, because they are those who have and they are those who consider themselves have-nots. We are seeing this right now. Russia and China were the leading nations. They gathered in the last week or so with other nations, dozens of them from around the world that are not Western nations. In fact, only one European nation was represented, and that was Hungary. Only one European nation came to this, and it was Hungary. And Hungary has a prime minister that is very authoritarian, very authoritarian. And so the idea is we are seeing in Asia a conglomeration of power for those who believe the West is not their friend. Now, remember, America has been the superpower for decades now, where there used to be other superpowers that were akin to America. America emerged as the single superpower. And then China, of course, has been emerging. Russia has been wanting to be a superpower, but just has not had the economic might to do so. But their military might keeps them totally at the center of attention of Western nations. But what we are seeing right now is Russia and China taking advantage of those who are looking for stronger nations to help them gain traction in development. These nations don't want to be left behind. And so the word of the Lord is, watch India. The Lord said this, watch India. India is a major player in how the earth will go. They will tip the scales, says the Lord. So right now, in fact, it was reported just today that India is sending help or aid to Gaza, where Hamas is stationed, because Israel has been waylaying, has been assaulting Gaza, looking to destroy Hamas so that it can never regain control. It can never again emerge. And so many people have been hurt. So many people have been killed. We're seeing people that can't find water and food. And so India is one of the nations sending aid to Gaza. They are not sending aid to Israel. It has not been reported that they're sending aid to Israel. They are sending aid to Gaza. Now, what does that say? India, as a nation with many Muslims, is saying we are siding with not with Hamas necessarily, but with those who are Muslim on the Gaza Strip, who Israel is looking to secure. And so what we're seeing is India, again, a major player. India's economy is emerging as a major economy, despite the distinct economic inequity that they have. I'm also hearing Bangladesh and Pakistan. The Lord says, watch these nations. They will align with powers that do not want the West to win. Saudi Arabia, Iran, and China have forged a pact. You might have heard of this. This is major. Why? Because it creates great strain, an intensified strain between Saudi Arabia and America. So America has been relying on Saudi Arabia for oil. Also, the world is relying on Saudi Arabia for oil, but also the United States has an air base in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been an interesting third party in the Middle East that has allowed America certain privileges and access, despite it being a Muslim country that could very well go radical like Iran, but it has not done so because it wants to be a major player economically and have good trade agreements and good trade relationships, since it's such an oil-rich nation, and they want to take advantage of that with good relationships with the West. But think about the strain this creates with Saudi Arabia aligning with the arch enemy of the United States, Iran, and China, which has been, let's say, broaching or approaching the line of becoming a major enemy of the United States. Such a great trade partner, a very strained trade partnership, because America doesn't want artificial intelligence technology to gain traction. And so there are now trade restrictions from Americans sending their technology to China because America sees China as a major threat. So you have Iran and a nation in China, America sees as a major threat, now aligning with Saudi Arabia. They sat down together. There was a photo op. These nations agreeing to strengthen their relationship. So Saudi Arabia goes public saying, we want to strengthen our relationship with Iran. Iran wants to decimate Israel. And Saudi Arabia is aligning with them. And the United States is a major ally of Israel, which is currently at war. So you see how this strain is intensifying between the United States and Saudi Arabia. We are seeing international tectonic plates shifting, and we need to watch and pray. I keep hearing the Lord say, watch and pray. Those of us who are aware of what's going on need to be praying. So you might say, how do we pray? Pray for the Lord's perfect will. Pray for righteousness to prevail. Reminding you, what are we talking about? We're talking about wars at the gates. This is the year of the gate. And what we are seeing are wars at the gates. And I'm going to get into more of that in just a little bit. So hang on. But as we talk about prayer points, pray for righteousness to prevail. Pray for revival in the lands where people are desperate and seeking answers, and they will quickly find out the government is not the answer. They will cry out to the Lord and be saved and redeemed. This is how we are to pray. God uses it all, what? To allow his glory to be revealed in all of the earth. We're going to see a global awakening as a result of these shifting tectonic plates of geopolitics. What we know is people come to Christ during crises. That's why they need a savior. They see they need to be saved. They see the need to be rescued. And so what we're seeing is God allowing the enemy to consolidate power and strategy, and it's actually playing into the hands of God. Somebody needs to stop right there and give God glory. Why do we need to be afraid? When my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. We need to pray Psalm 27 in the name of the Lord. As the world goes dark, the Lord will bring great light. That's Isaiah chapter 60. And darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But it says the glory of the Lord, that the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen. So as the darkness seems to be overtaking the light, in fact, the light is going to press back and overcome the darkness. I keep hearing, watch and pray. Pray Isaiah 60. Pray Isaiah 60. I'm going to go to it and just read just the first couple of verses. Isaiah 60 is crucial in this time because it actually reveals the prophetic time that we are in and how God's heart is involved in what we're going through. Arise, shine, for your light has come. That is a prophetic word over the earth. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Glory to God. The Gentiles, here's the redeeming. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness up of your rising. This is how we are to pray. If you pray Psalm 27 and Isaiah 60, you're going to be praying into the will of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Over the earth, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, here's the redemption, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I can literally hear the songs of people getting saved as they are recognizing that God is lifting up their head above the heads of their enemies. They're experiencing warfare in the natural, but they're crying out to God and experiencing salvation in the spirit. This is what we're going to be experiencing as the tectonic plates of geopolitics shift in the earth and a new alignment in the earth is transpiring. Somebody needs to give God glory right there. The Lord showed me last year, angels were dealing with an emergency that had to deal with heavenly doors. I saw angels leaving and going to deal with other doors. Because there's what? War at the gates. This is what the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with me about. As I consider what the Lord showed me in November of 2022, and I saw the angels moving, there was a transition happening. They were responding to a new move of the enemy. And what the Lord showed me, he showed me an angel, and the angel told me he was responsible for the city of Jerusalem, and he was an angel stationed at the gate of Jerusalem. These are ancient doors. These are ancient doors. This is what the psalmist writes of. Be lifted up, O ye gates, right? Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. These are the gates in the spirit realm that actually govern access to cities in the spirit and also by default in the natural access as well. And what the Lord showed me was a door handle was broken on one of the doors in the spirit, and the angels were repairing it. So the angels who had left some of their posts at gates were going to help repair a door where the handle was broken. What does a broken handle represent? It represents a loss of security and a vulnerability to what? Breach. That an enemy can now breach the gate because the door handle is broken. That mechanism that is set up in order to prevent entry was broken. And I remember hearing the Lord say, something is going on with the angels, and he wanted me to investigate. And I continue to investigate. And here's what's happening. The enemy is bringing war at the gates of cities. That's why we're going to be seeing civil wars, culture wars, and wars of military might. The enemy, the Lord showed me, is like an ant bed that has been stepped on. I'll never forget, the Lord showed me in a dream, the enemy is responding to the advancing of the kingdom of God. So what does the Spirit of the Lord say in the scripture? He says that your foot shall bruise his head and his head shall bruise your heel. And so as we stomp on the head of the evil one, as we step on his territory, as we gain traction in the spirit, he's responding. What do ants do when you step on their home? They swarm the spot to what? Ward off and take away the attack and then repair that which has been destroyed. If you ever notice, ant beds can be repaired overnight. You can step on an ant bed and then the next morning it looks like nobody stepped on it. Why? Because they work so feverishly to restore their kingdom. This is what the enemy is doing. As we have been praying into the revival God is bringing into the earth, as we have been entering into this new time, we're in a new time. COVID-19 brought us into a new time. The enemy knows his time is short. What does he do? He operates as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But we are to resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren in the world, that we're in a war together against the evil one globally. So let's talk about this war at the gates. Genesis 24 and 60, it says, and they blessed Rebekah. Rebekah was what? The wife of Isaac. And they said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s. Wow, millions of people. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. War happens at the gates of cities and nations because the kingdom of God is what? Suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. The Bible actually says that until John, from the prophets until John, the kingdom of God is being preached. It says from John until now, John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone is pressing into it. So as the kingdom of God is being preached, as the word of the Lord is being released, as the report of the Lord is being translated into the earth, the enemy is pressing into that move. He's looking to press it back. And this is a war that is primarily in the spirit realm, but it manifests in the natural realm with war that we can see with our natural eyes. So in Israel right now, the enemy is not just Hamas or Hezbollah. The enemy is unseen. This is how we need to be careful. So the world, this is such the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants you to understand that the world wants to pull you into an argument over Muslim versus Jew. The world wants to pull you into an argument over what is Palestine deserving versus what is Israel deserve. Listen, these things are not for us to adjudicate. These things are settled in heaven. The Bible says that the Lord's word is settled in heaven. The word he has spoken over Israel is settled. The boundaries of the Lord have been settled in heaven. Glory to God. God even has angels that come and literally, we see it in the book of Ezekiel, they look and they measure and they map out the specific intricate boundaries of Israel. And so when there's a breach, there's a war. And what we have right now is the Gaza Strip and the West Bank that are in God's boundary of Israel, but they are not possessed by Israel. And so as a preemptive strike, the enemy had Hamas over who knows how long strategize and plan a sneak attack. The Spirit of God showed me it was a preemptive strike by the evil one in the unseen realm, utilizing vessels in the earth. Remember, the vessels in the earth are just playing out what is being influenced or what is being rooted in the spirit. We are all vessels, either of the Spirit of God or another spirit. Glory to God. So what we need to see is the enemy is unseen. What we learned in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha and his servant were there and Syria had surrounded the city. The Syria had surrounded Elisha. They were coming after him specifically because he had been so accurate in describing the schemes of Syria to the king of Israel. And they had been able to thwart the attack so far. And he said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. Why? Because the servant thought they were surrounded by the enemy in the natural. But when the Spirit of God showed his servant what was really going on in the spirit, there were chariots of fire surrounding them. There were chariots of fire all around Elisha. The Bible says the mountain was full of horses and chariots. God's army is in the spirit on our behalf. And we need to see this by the spirit. We need to pray into this in the name of Jesus. Now, what did Elisha do? Did he just settle with the fact that he knew that he had God's backing? No, he spoke into the atmosphere. He said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. What did he do? He prayed. What did he pray for? Blindness. Pray against the enemy and cause him to be blind in the spirit realm so that his schemes and strategies cannot succeed. This is how we to pray. This is key to our response. We don't pray according to what we see in the natural. We pray according to what we know is in God's heart. Okay? The news media, the culture is going to try to get you into this. Who deserves love, Palestine or Israel? Who deserves this property versus that? No, no, no. Pray God's heart. The desire for God is Israel will possess the gates of her enemies. We just read that in Genesis chapter 24. God's desire is Israel will possess the gates of their enemies. There is a gate between Israel and the Gaza Strip. There is a gate between Israel and the West Bank. And the Lord's desire is for Israel to possess those gates, and the evil one knows it. And so that's why Hamas brought this preemptive strike. The devil knows Israel's rightful boundaries. And I need to say this right now, that I am not going to get into the, oh, you're saying this about these people and then this about these people. No, no, no. What I'm saying is I'm on the Lord's side. I am on the Lord's side. The devil is seeking to put the world on alert against Israel coming into full possession. I'm going to say that again. The enemy is seeking to put the world on alert against Israel coming into full possession. Listen to what possess is defined as in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. It means to have and hold. It doesn't mean just to have it on a deed. It means you actually have the possession of it. So God deeded the land to Israel, but they're not possessing it. So they can't say they possess the land. It means to seize and take control of, take into one's possession, to enter into and control firmly. It means to dominate. So you have dominion. Israel does not have dominion in the Gaza Strip. Israel does not have dominion in the West Bank. I am not saying that I am at all a proponent of genocide. What I am saying is God gave that nation a land, and I'm going to show you the land. So let's take a look at ancient Israel. It might be hard to determine what current boundaries are included in this, but I'm going to show you the modern Israel in just a moment. So this is the kingdom of Israel versus the kingdom of Judah. Okay. Now let's go to modern Israel. If you're on the podcast, you can't see this, but I'm going to describe it. Modern Israel does not include the Gaza Strip. It does not include the West Bank. Ancient Israel includes both of these. In fact, not to stir up a hornet's nest, but just to tell you the truth, ancient Israel's borders included a portion of Syria. So modern day Syria, there's a portion of modern day Syria that was a part of Israel. There's a portion of Jordan that is a portion to ancient Israel as well. And so this map, the current Israel, is not this map. I'm not going to get into the particulars of where the boundary line should be. You can go to the book of Ezekiel and find out what God has to say about that. But what I'm saying is to possess something means to enter into and control firmly, to dominate. Now watch this. It says here as an example in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, as an example of using the word possess in a sentence, it says possessed by demons. So now let's look at the spirit realm. Where God's kingdom is not in possession, that area is possessed by demonic principalities. So now those of us who are Christian hopefully are getting delivered from some of the arguments, some of the vain imaginations of this world that try to tell us, oh, well, what about equity? No, no, no. This is about demonic versus light, darkness versus light, demonic versus God. This is why when you read the Old Testament, you should not get so upset when the Amalekites and the Amorites and all of the Jebusites are being annihilated, because what God was doing was he was removing vessels of demons. Those people were demonic. They were possessed by demons, and God was taking back what was lost in Eden. I'll get to that in just a little bit. So this is why the Bible says that we should walk by faith, not by sight. Amen, somebody. That to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We are to have our eyes on things above, our hearts on things above and not beneath, because if we do not do that, we'll get caught up in a lie that this has everything to do with people. It has everything to do with people, only that first, it's who those people serve. We do not need to excuse God from being a judge, because he is a judge. He is a jealous God. I am not condemning anyone. What I'm saying is this is why Jesus came, to redeem us from the law, to redeem us from destruction. And so the gospel must be preached. So that's another way to pray. Pray for laborers to enter into the harvest where these wars are breaking out. To possess also means to bring or cause to fall under the influence, domination, or control of some emotional or intellectual response or reaction. So it's about the heart. The heart of a people. A heart of a people can be possessed. And so God wants you to be possessed with his desire for Israel. God wants the earth to be possessed for his desire for Israel. It means to make the owner or holder. So if Israel doesn't own it and it's been proclaimed and prophesied that Israel should own it, then God's heart is that they should own it. Listen to this. This is the blessing. When Abraham was asked to sacrifice his only son, and he willingly went to Moriah to put his son on the altar and put his son on the altar and raise the knife to kill him. And then the Lord sent a ram in the bush as a what? As a propitiation, a replacement for the sacrifice of man. It says, as a result of Abraham's radical faith in verse 15 of Genesis 22, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord." This is a covenant. "Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." What does that say? Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. The descendants of Abraham are to possess the gate of their enemies. And then it says, "In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So the blessing of the Lord will expand into the whole earth when Israel possesses the gates of their enemies. The word there to possess in the Hebrew also can mean inherit. Inherit. We know Jesus inherited the nations, but it's Israel's inheritance that is at stake with these wars that they undergo all the time. By holy covenant, the people of God have inherited the God-drawn boundaries of Israel that have not yet been realized in the natural realm. And so there will always be a war over it. What we have right now is spiritual trespassing by Israel's enemies. The West Bank, the Gaza Strip, it's spiritual trespassing. And until that trespass is annulled and dealt with, there will be wars at these gates. And in fact, even after, there will be wars at these gates until Israel is restored with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The word possess in Hebrew can also be translated as, listen to this, to disinherit. So when someone's possessing something, they're also disinheriting something. When someone possessing something, they're also ruining something or destroying or impoverishing something. What does that say? It's a war. In order to take and possess it, you're taking it from someone else. And so when you, for instance, have a will and testament and a person passes away, that person leaves an inheritance. It was once theirs, but it has been given to someone else. They have been disinherited by their heirs. So the nature of war is to take land. The nature of war is to take land. Look at the American Civil War. We have the South versus the North, the Union versus the rebels. The rebels wanted what? States' rights. Why? So they could have their slave trade. They wanted to possess their land and dominate it, and they did not want the Union to come in with another ideology and dominate the land with an ideology that they did not appreciate. So they wanted to keep their land the way they wanted it. So the fight was over land and the ability to dominate and have dominion in that land. Anytime you have war, it's about land. Wars are not ideological as much as they are geographical. And this is why Jesus came, to take back what the devil stole geographically in the spirit. John 1, 1 John 3 and 8, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So the wars at the gates are part of God's mandate to destroy the works of the devil through Jesus Christ. We will see the culmination of this when we join the angels and the Lord in destroying the demonic. In the meantime, we're going to have these wars at the gates, and the idea is for a great awakening to break out. Because remember, destroying the works of the devil is not really about the boundaries in the natural. It's about boundaries in the spirit. God wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and he has. God wants everyone to be saved. He wants none to perish. Amen, somebody. And so what we need to be praying into is the supernatural realm and the supernatural ideology, the supernatural goal, which is for the Lord to cover the earth with his glory like the water covers the sea. The Lord desires to restore Israel by spoiling her enemies. Amen. This is a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. This is how we have to see it. Don't try to convince your friends. Don't try to convince the news media. Pray. These territorial lines have been drawn. They are ancient. And ultimately, the entire earth will be at war because the earth is the Lord's. What am I getting at? God wants the whole earth. And so as the kingdom of God advances and seeks to bring the whole earth under subjection to the Spirit of God in the rulership of heaven, under the rulership of heaven, there will be global wars happening. This is the purpose of Jesus's return, to restore Eden, the entire earth, and all of heaven as one. So these tectonic plates we're seeing shifting are part of a grandiose plan to restore Eden on the earth, to bring new what? Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. New what? Peace. Peace. Peace that only comes through submission to Jesus Christ. But that won't happen outside of wars at the gates. I pray that this gives you some prophetic insight on how to pray. We need to be praying Psalm 27. We need to be praying Isaiah 60, rather. We need to be praying into what I just read in Genesis 22, where the Bible records that God's people will possess the gates of their enemies. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. I'm going to go to that verse. I'm going to go to that psalm right now, and then we're going to pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says in Psalm 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. The prosperity enters through gates. The peace enters through gates. And that's why the evil one is warring at the gates. He wants to remove peace and prosperity from Israel. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord, we pray that your light, which has already come, will arise over Israel and the whole earth. Glory to God. As darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people, the glory of the Lord will arise. And we pray into your work. God, I pray you settle our hearts during this time of war. You warned us, Jesus, there will be wars and even rumors of wars. Wars that have not yet broken out. You said that we should know that these are signs of the end times and the signs of your coming, that no one knows the day or the hour. But these are just the beginning of sorrows. God, we have not entered into the great tribulation, but we are certainly in a pre-tribulation period. And I ask you to continue to refine your church, God. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to submit to you and to be boldly submitted as vessels of the Holy Spirit. Living sacrifices, our reasonable service. We love you, God, and we do pray prosperity in the palaces of Israel. Prosperity, peace within the walls of Jerusalem in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God chose Israel. God chose Jerusalem as a place to put his name. And so there's just an untold value the Lord has put on that place. It was where he chose to disseminate himself into all of the earth, disseminate his message of salvation. And so we need to pray. To find out more about our ministry, you can go to faithfireworldwide.com. You can join our newsletter there and learn more about our international ministry. We're raising $50,000 to go into the nations with revival and awakening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I pray all of this over you until we see each other again. Bye.